absolute power corrupts absolutely.
Everyone, and welcome once again to a wonderful Sunday morning, I should say. 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. If you listen to me, then you know who I am. I am JT, and this is The Master Plan. The number to call in is 347-637-3220. I'll say that again. It's 347-637-3220. We got a great show in store for you today. I'm going to try to keep it on the low key. People say I talk too loud on a microphone, so I'm going to try to keep it on the low key, not get too worked up. Hopefully it don't put you to sleep. We're going to be talking about the Pro Bowl. Yeah, I know. It's the Pro Bowl. It's like an exhibition game. We talk a little bit about that. We're going to also talk about some players that are in trouble. And some, again, some that are new, but, you know, the NFL, you got players that are in trouble. Seems like it's an ongoing saga and never stops. And then to round off the show, one of many NFL mock drafts I'm going to be doing today. I'm going to try to get through as many rounds as I can, up to round four. I'm not going to go anything past that. And then that'll be it. We're here for 1 hour, and 1 hour only. In the past, it's been an hour and a half, maybe 2 hours, when we've been doing fantasy and fantasy picks and things like that. But from now until, unless I do baseball or basketball, well, basketball's past right now, but baseball, and basketball's in progress right now. What I'm talking about, starting baseball. Which is starting, probably pitchers and catchers start next month, which is right around the corner. This is the January 31st. Believe it or not, February's right in the crosshairs, and it's coming in the next 12 hours, give or take. Next, 12 hours. 14 hours, I should say. We'll be into the 1st of February. Whatever. Anyway, we're going to be having quite a bit going on in this show, I think. So listen to Born to Rise for a little bit more, and then we'll be right back. We are back, people. We are back. I am JT, quite naturally. And Team Rice, Team Urban, have their players in line. Now, I noticed an exhibition game. You got former teammates on college players like Jarvis Landry and Odell Beckham playing on the same team. There's no NFC or AFC face-off. Everybody mixes matches now to try to get a more enjoyable game for the fans. They've done it fantasy style where they have picked the teams. Michael Irvin's one team captain. The other one is Jerry Rice, two Hall of Fame wide receivers, two guys with big egos and two different personalities, I should say. And it's going to take place at 7 o'clock, quite naturally in Hawaii, a favorite place for most of the players. In fact, all the players, I would think. The winner gets $58,000 a piece. The loser gets half that, $29,000 a piece, which is a nice piece of change for an exhibition game, because that's basically what it's going to be, an exhibition game. Some guys play all out because that's the only way they know how to play. Most guys are just going to make sure that they play and not put themselves in a situation to get themselves hurt and hurt their career with an injury. Like I said, it's going to take place tonight at 7 o'clock. Whatever your local channel is. I hope you enjoy the game. There's really not too much to say. I know I'm looking at a couple sites, and one of the sites says that there should be a skills competition at the Pro Bowl. They should add a skills competition at the Pro Bowl to, I guess, promote some more interest in it. Other major sports all include skills competition as part of their All-Star festivities. Baseball, like you know, has the Home Run Derby. The NBA has a slam dunk and three-point contest. The NHL has the hardest shot, shooting accuracy, and fastest skating contest. The NFL has more diverse collection of athletes than any other sport and could therefore have a skills competition to beat them all. I mean, you can have the competition to determine who's the fastest player, the strongest lineman, the quarterback with the strongest arm. I'm all reciting this from ProFootballTalk.com. The kicker with the best accuracy, the receiver with the best hands, and so on and so forth. To put a more of a fun element and make it more interesting and keep interest in both the fans and the players. And it, quite naturally, you don't want to put the players in jeopardy of having a major injury going into their off-season program and quite naturally into the 2016 season, do something like that. And more or less, it would jeopardize, like I said, the player's career. But it is what it is. It could be food for thought in future Pro Bowl games. I know that they're really trying to keep the interest in here. A lot of players have opted not to participate, big-name players, and then we have substitutes that come in and take the original Pro Bowl selected players out. It is what it is. I mean, maybe we shouldn't a skills competition. You got a thought on it, you know the number to call in, 347-637-3220. Give me your thoughts. Or if you want to, if you would like to, jump into the chat room and give us your thoughts in there, if you're listening. I would think that you would but a lot of people don't watch the Pro Bowl because it's an exhibition game, and it's really doesn't have any meaning. Not like the Major League Baseball, where the home team has the American League or the National League, depending on who wins the All-Star game. That's the team that is the has the home field advantage. So it's not like that. Anyway, let's do this. See if anybody's in the chat room here real quick. If no one's in the chat room, then we'll move on real quick. And then no one's in the chat room. Okay. All right. this is what we're going to do. I told you I was going to talk about the Pro Bowl. And there's really not a lot to talk about the Pro Bowl other than what I just covered. And we'll move on to players in trouble. And we got a couple, at least a couple of them. We got at least a couple of them. Let's talk about this guy first, because it's close. Not, I would say, yeah, it's close to home. it's a Giant player, a New York Giant player. I'm not a New York Giant fan, but I live in Jersey. The Giants play in Jersey, even though they're the New York Giants. And it has to do with a New York Giant. For those of you who don't know, this is an article from ProFootballTalk.com that Giants defensive tackle Jay Bromley was accused of attempting to rape a woman in a New York hotel early this morning, which is early in January 30th. The New York Post reports that Bromley met the 26-year-old woman on Instagram, picked her up at her home, and took her to a hotel. The report says the woman willingly performed oral sex on Bromley, but that something took place where she didn't want it to take place. The New York Daily News reports that the woman says Bromley became violent and tried to rape her. So let me go back to that last sentence. Not the next to last sentence. The report says the woman willingly performed oral sex on Bromley, but that something took place where she didn't want it to take place. Okay? Report said that the woman asked him to drive her home, and he refused. Outside the hotel, the woman reportedly jumped on the hood of Bromley's car to keep him from leaving, but he continued to drive, and she fell off the hood, suffering injuries to her legs. The woman called police at 4 a.m. The Giants have confirmed that they are aware of the story, but otherwise have not commented. The 6'3", 310-pound Bromley was selected out of Syracuse in the third round of the 2014 NFL Draft. He played in all 16 games last year with four starts. So he was a spot starter. And he was durable enough to play in all 16 games. And this is his second year in the league. We got another player. Met this woman on Instagram. Now, I'm not assuming anything, but this has got to be a head scratcher. See, two people never met each other. This woman's 26 years old, and I imagine that Bromley, if he's been in the league for a couple of years, is probably a year or two younger than this woman, but they're in close proximity in age of each other. Picked her up, took her to a hotel, so she was willingly able to take that risk. Said the woman willingly performed oral sex on him, but that something took place where she didn't want it to take place. I'll leave that to you people's imagination. I have a strong idea of what took place, but I'm not going to comment on it. But I'll have to say there's going to be some questioning in this. This is going to be a head scratcher and trying to figure out. And this is the dilemma a lot of guys have to deal with. It goes so far as what she performed on him, and then at one point she must have said no, and then after that, anything after that would be considered rape. That's a fine line, okay? Thank God I don't have to make the decision on. All right. Talked about that. Let's talk about Mr. Repeater. Constantly Repeater. Partying and on in different nightclubs, whether it's in Vegas whether it's a Dallas nightclub, which he was seen partying hard in a Dallas nightclub maybe about a week ago, I guess. And now, and you know who I'm talking about now, because, I mean, at Las Vegas, partying in different venues, whether it's somewhere in Texas or whatever, Mr. Johnny Manziel is back in the news again. This kid just don't get it. And before I go on what Johnny Manziel did, let me say this. Let me put this out there once again. I said this before Johnny Manziel got drafted, that he was a spoiled rich kid, that doesn't deserve to be in the NFL, because I didn't think he was an NFL type of player. And up until this point, I've been proven right straight down the line. Immature, party guy, always used to getting his way. Big man on campus, and still think he's a big man on campus, which he's not. But he's got issues. He can't stay out of bars. Now, I'm not saying you can't, but let me put it this way. If you get a reputation as a hard partier and you're a quarterback, how many big-name quarterbacks? Now, just think. There's 32 and plus the backup. That's 64 quarterbacks in the league. 64. How many of those 64 do you see constantly in the news and either being charged with a domestic violence of some type, which we'll get into, or constantly getting videoed in party situations where you originally went to rehab to in quotation marks, straighten yourself out or get yourself together. And you're still doing it. Saying in the beginning of the season, saying you had turned yourself around. Well, that didn't last long. And he's not that big a talent as he was in college. And I got to believe that the Cleveland Browns sooner or later are going to say, see you later, Johnny. And that any other team that picks up Johnny Manziel, it's going to have the same issues. Because this guy just doesn't get it. He's not the BMOC anymore. He's not that. But he's still acting like he's still in college. And he's not. He's not acting like a professional. A quarterback. Some of you out there that are listening to the program don't like Cam Newton. Don't like his celebration. Don't like the way he acts on the field. For whatever issues. A lot of them have to do with the color of his skin, and I'll say it. Well, look at Johnny Manziel. Look how Johnny Manziel is doing. Now, he's partying, and a lot of you say, well, there's nothing against what he's doing in partying. But I say you're wrong. For the simple fact is, I just said it to you, 64 NFL quarterbacks. And I'm not even counting the third string. I'm just going from the first and backup of each team. That's 64 quarterbacks. How many of those quarterbacks do you see constantly in the news? Good, bad, doing bad things, or doing things that would tarnish the reputation of a starting quarterback or a quarterback from a particular NFL organization. I only know one, Johnny Manziel. So, and if you look into the depths, and I'm going back and forth here, but if you look into the depths of what Cam Newton is all about, what he does on and off the field, never gotten in trouble in the NFL. Only one mark on his on his resume when he was a young player in college football. Has not been the epitome of a professional. No trouble whatsoever on or off the field, particularly off the field. Most quarterbacks are the face of the franchise, have to be a certain way, whether regardless of their personality, whether an A plus. An A personality, or like an Eli, are the face of the franchise. No party hardy. They party. It's really very subdued. Not like a college type of partier like Mr. Manziel. Now, I'm gonna bring this right around, Johnny Manziel. Got videotaped quite a few times in the last 4 months partying, where he's supposed to have to clean himself up. In between one of those, a while back, the law enforcement confronted him and his girlfriend because supposedly altercation that took place off the side of the road. They found Johnny Manziel. And I'm not saying, I'm just, when I say they found Johnny Manziel, worthy of being charged with anything. And they let it go. Well, guess what, people? Police searched, and this is from ProFootballTalkAgain.com. I can get this from anywhere, because if you Google Johnny Manziel, this will come up. Browns quarterback Johnny Manziel, quite naturally, everyone had assumed that, may have felt like a little like Ray Liotta in that weird final half hour of Goodfellas. If you've seen Goodfellas, and you've seen Ray Liotta, as the main character in there, he got followed from house to wherever he was going by helicopter, and you can see that he could see the helicopter following. Well, via Mark David Smith of the Fort Worth Star-Telegram, Fort Worth police have issued a statement indicating that a helicopter was used to search for Manziel while following whatever it was that happened between him and a female on Saturday morning. So this happened a couple days ago. No, it happened yesterday. Let me put it that way. Yesterday morning, about 24 hours, less than 24 hours, more than 24 hours, whatever. Report indicates that a possible assault occurred, but that the potential victim, who referred to Manziel as her ex-boyfriend, was not cooperative. Okay. The helicopter search apparently resulted from Manziel's ex-girlfriend's concern for his well-being and an inability to locate him through cell phone numbers associated with him. Although no arrest was made, it's another alarming example of a possible misbehavior from a guy who continues to make one bad decision after another. While the Browns surely hope they can trade him to another team, at some point the only responsible thing to do will be to cut him. Yet another incident that is possibly related to domestic violence. And just like the last one, and I hate to assume this, but I think that a lot of people that are enabling Mr. Manziel, and that there could have been a possibility, and I'm not saying this, but there could have been, I'm saying there's a possibility in the first incident along the side of the road with his girlfriend at that present time, there could have been a possible assault, but the girlfriend denied it. Johnny Manziel quite naturally denied it, and it was left alone. Well, this took place again. Ex-girlfriend, it says. And for the simple fact is, and I hate to say it like this, but I'm going to say it like this anyway. They had a fear that Manziel may pull an OJ in wanting to hurt himself and end it all because of the things that he may have done and not wanted to be held accountable for. I'm just saying, I'm reading in between the lines of what this happened to say, because the helicopter search, and I'll say this again, helicopter search apparently resulted from Manziel's ex-girlfriend concerns for his well-being and an inability to locate him through cell phone numbers associated with him. So that means that he wasn't answering his cell phone, and that in the state of mind that he possibly could have been in, that his well-being was could have been in jeopardy. Let me put it that way. Now, they haven't made an arrest yet, but yet another example of, in my opinion, spoiled little rich kid that's not used to people, not the head big man on campus, and doesn't know how to deal with it. Is more interested in, because he has his family has money to he can fall back on. So I think he's not as driven or dedicated to the sport that he played and got a Heisman in college. So even though he may talk it, he doesn't walk it. And I'd be extremely surprised. I'd be extremely surprised if Mr. Johnny Manziel is with the Cleveland Browns by the end of March. I'll say by the end of March. I'll put it that far, because I think he's not going to be. I think anybody in their right mind who's in the NFL front office would not trade for Johnny Manziel, because the fact is, it's obvious that the Cleveland Browns are, and I hate to say it like this, but the reason I'm saying it like this, you'll understand, is dealing with garbage. And no one wants to pick up garbage and give you draft picks back for that or trade for another player with that. When in fact, you can see the handwriting on the wall that the Johnny Manziel, as a quarterback on the Cleveland Browns, is a poison pill. The only way that another team would pick up Johnny Manziel is if Cleveland Browns cut him, which I see that coming very shortly. Now, quite naturally, the NFL, including the Cleveland Browns, have their own investigators and quite naturally are diligently investigating this and seeing what kind of substance this has. Whether it's has any foundation or not, we'll know in the up and coming days. And the future of Johnny Manziel with the Cleveland Browns or with any other team, I foresee being in jeopardy here. In my opinion, any team that picks up Johnny Manziel, if Cleveland cuts him, is just picking up the headache Cleveland had. I don't think he's going to change. Some people say either he goes to Houston Texans or the Dallas Cowboys from his home state of Texas. I think that's even worse. I mean, he can always go back there when on his off days and party in Texas, because it's proven that he does do that. Just look at some of the videos that you've seen from different clubs in Texas. It's the mindset, the mental, it's the mindset of Johnny Manziel that has to change. And the fact is that maybe realizes that he's not cut out to be a NFL quarterback, that what he thought, what he perceived that he could do in the NFL, he realizes he can't do because they're bigger, faster, and stronger than they are in college. And he's just acting out in different ways to but we don't know. So some players need to move on to another team and to bring out their true abilities. I'm not saying I still don't think Johnny Manziel is a starting quarterback in the NFL. I think he's a very good quarterback in college. His thing is being able to improvise. A lot of his plays in college were improvisation. That's not what you can do in the pros if you don't have that ability, or you have an exceptional ability. And he has ability, but he doesn't have that exceptional ability to be able to improvise and play effectively, consistently in the NFL. He's a very slight quarterback, and his limitations were exposed when he was the quarterback playing for the Cleveland Browns. So we just have to wait and see how far this goes, and if Johnny Manziel is indeed going to be how much longer are you going to be with the Cleveland Browns? Let me put it that way. I don't think he is too far, because Hugh Jackson pretty much didn't endorse him as a quarterback, and more or less is not the type of quarterback that Hugh Jackson is looking for. And I know Hugh Jackson is not going to put up with the antics of Johnny Manziel and him in the front office of the Cleveland Browns, including the owner, are probably going to say, hasta la vista, baby. Go somewhere else and give the other team, another team, a headache. We're going to take that Advil or that Tylenol and get rid of our headache, which is Johnny Manziel. All right, let's do this. I'm going to take a quick little break here, a little pause for the cause, and we'll be back here in a couple of minutes. How's that?
Thursday night is the right time to kick back and listen to the FSP Crew Show as they break down the weekend sports and prepare you for Thursday night football. 8 p.m. Eastern, just before the game starts, Jerry the Master Taylor hosts the show with Jeff the Joker Goldberg and Mike the Bookie Monster Wright. The three gentlemen debate and discuss a little bit of this, a little bit of that, a little bit of everything on the FSP Crew Show every Thursday night on blogtalkradio.com/VICHBK, 8 p.m. Eastern. You can listen at spotonradio.webs.com after the show as it streams 24/7, 365, and listen to other informative programs as well. Information, motivation, variety.
Victor Gardner began the fantasy sports and politics brand with the idea of combining two of his passions into a radio show. He then learned that politics were 95% of sports. When you tune into the Fantasy Sports and Politics Show every Saturday at 1 p.m. Eastern, Mr. FSP himself, Vic Gardner, and Jerry the Master Taylor will go over the weekend sports, prep you for your upcoming fantasy games, and spark a debate politicians would love to hear. That's the FSP Show every Saturday at 1 p.m. on blogtalkradio.com/VICHBK. You can listen at spotonradio.web.com after the show as it streams 24/7, 365 for other informative programs as well. Information, motivation, variety.
Okay, let's get to this mock draft. Like I said, we talked about the Pro Bowl. We talked about a couple of players that are in trouble, and we'll have to wait in the next ensuing days to see if, what those players' fates are going to be. And I also said I promised you that we're going to do a mock draft. Now, this is not a fantasy draft, which is going to take place after the NFL draft. So quite naturally, it wouldn't make sense to do a fantasy draft now when we don't have the skill players in position to the respective teams, the rookies that are coming. I'm talking about the draft that's going to take place in April. Yes, people, it's in April this year. All right. Before we go to the draft, I'm going to give you for the month of February. And then at the end of the month of February, I'm going to give you the schedule for the month of March, and so on and so forth. This is the NFL schedule as it stands right now. All right. Quite naturally, today is the Pro Bowl, after that, February 7th, as you all know, is Super Bowl 50. Which is going to take place in Levi Stadium, and that's in Santa Clara, California. The day after that, the waiver system begins for 2016, which is February 8th. February 9th, beginning at 12 noon, New York time, NFL clubs may begin to sign players who 2015 CFL, that's Canadian Football League contracts, have expired. Players under contract to a CFL club for the 2016 season or who have an option for the 2016 season are not eligible to be signed. Then we go on to February 13th, which is about 2 weeks from today. NFL Regional Combines, Houston Texans, at Methodist Training Facility in Houston, Texas. February 16th, first day for clubs to designate franchise or transition players. February 20th, NFL Regional Combines at the Arizona Cardinals Training Facility, which is in Phoenix, Arizona. February 23rd to the 29th is, as you all know, or as you will know, the NFL Scouting Combine at Lucas Oil Stadium in Indianapolis, Indiana. That's the one that's always on TV for four or five days, whatever. It starts on, I think, a Thursday, whatever, and it goes all the way into Monday. Let me just look at this calendar here. The 23rd starts on a Tuesday. I think they arrive there at that time, and they go through all different types of interviews, tests. Other than on the field tests, and then they start the on the field tests quite naturally over the weekend, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and then Sunday and Monday. The 27th of February, the NFL Regional Combines, also in Baltimore, Under Armour Performance Center in Owings Mill, Maryland, If you're not invited to the NFL Combine, you're invited to one of the regional combines and to try to make a name for yourself get a shot to be drafted in the seven rounds that is the NFL draft. All right. And like I said, at the end of February, I'm going to give you the March schedule, which includes more combines, includes signing contracts and waiving players and exercising and options in players' contracts. There's a lot of things that are going on in March, I'll be keeping you abreast of all of them as much as I can. All right, let's get to the draft of the 2016 NFL coming up in 2016, which, and I'll give you an idea when the draft is. The draft is in April, the last weekend in April, starts on the 28th, and ends on the 30th. As you know, it's not in New York at this present time. It's in Chicago, and it should be very interesting draft with a lot of possibilities of players going to different teams, quarterbacks may possibly getting drafted early, possibly not. But I'm looking at one draft, and we'll try to get to as many rounds as we possibly can. But starting off, the Tennessee Titans, they had the The Tennessee Titans had the number two pick in the first round last year, wound up with a stellar record this year that gives them the number one pick this year. Now, they picked Marcus Mariota last year, which turned out to be a very good pick, but he got pounded. He suffered multiple injuries because he took an absolute beating with a offensive line that couldn't protect him that well. So the circumstances give the Titans the number one pick, and I think they pick a offensive tackle, and the offensive tackle that I'm thinking they'll pick was Laramie Tunsil from Ole Miss. They need somebody to protect Marcus Mariota on the blind side. They had a tough time doing that, and I do believe that they're going to take someone on the offensive line to help protect Marcus Mariota for the simple reason that's the face of the franchise. You can see when he gets protected and when he is afforded the opportunity to look down the field without duress, that he can be effective. Now, he is a runner, but he prefers to stay in the pocket and showed very good accuracy when he was able to deliver the ball from the pocket. All right. Let's move on to the number two pick, where the Hugh Jackson led Cleveland Browns now. And I love Hugh Jackson as an offensive coordinator. Now he's a head coach. I think this is a better situation in Cleveland than he had in Oakland. I think they're trying new and innovative ways for the Cleveland Browns to evaluate talent. Hugh Jackson is a very innovative offensive coordinator. Always made the quarterback better wherever he went. Don't think the type of quarterbacks that he has in Josh McGowan. Maybe he may be a stopgap, or quite naturally Johnny Manziel, who's the headache that I think they're going to purge from that organization. So I'm thinking that there's some quarterbacks, especially one that either he may be able to start right away. If you take him number two, more than likely you want to start him right away. And Hugh Jackson, in my opinion, is one of a few quarterback whisperers. Adam Gase being another, Bruce Arians being another. I have to say Todd Haley is a whisperer. Ken Whisenhunt is another quarterback whisperer, because all these guys I've talked about, wherever they have gone, they've improved the quarterback play on that team. So I'd have to believe in Hugh Jackson. Look at what he did with Andy Dalton when he was there. Look what he did the short time he had Carson Palmer. I'm trying to think what the other – he'd been in the situation. And he's been able to develop quarterbacks and get the maximum out of them, let me put it that way, and make him a better all-around quarterback. Know their limitations, know their strengths, and play and call plays to benefit that. And I do believe Hugh Jackson is going to be calling the plays. Even though they're going to have an offensive coordinator, Hugh Jackson is going to be calling the plays. So that means, in my opinion, if you have two quarterbacks and one of them that you know you're going to probably get rid of, you need to start fresh. And I think they're going to be taking the hot quarterback for now, unless he burns out for one reason or another before the draft. They'll take Carson Wentz, the quarterback from North Dakota State. I believe they really like Carson Wentz. Since he showed had a strong showing in Mobile, meaning in the Senior Bowl, I would think that he would be the one to be the favorite to be chosen number two in a draft. I know there's other teams that are quarterback needy, my team being one of them, in my opinion. Quite naturally, they're not in a position to select a number two unless Cleveland decides to trade that pick, which I don't think they're going to do, because they're in dire need of a quarterback. And if there's a quarterback up there that you may think is worthy of the number two pick, just like Marcus Mariota, or the number one pick, just like Jameis Winston, then you would take that pick and try to groom that quarterback or coach him up to your system and start him day one. I mean, that's what the consensus is right now. If you draft a quarterback high within the top six, top ten, that quarterback, for lack of a better word, is your franchise quarterback. And you don't sit him. You got too much invested in him. You picked him that high. Quarterback in the second, third, and fourth round, unless he excels and outperforms any other quarterback on your roster, is a backup. He's not going to be your starter. But if you draft somebody highly in the first round, you're projecting that quarterback to be your starter from day one, in the first game of the season. So I would think that the Cleveland Browns select Carson Wentz, like I said, the quarterback coming out of North Dakota State, as their number two pick. Let's move on to the number three pick. Let's put this way. One of the things that the two things right now the San Diego Chargers have a need of is a offensive lineman to protect Phillip Rivers and someone rushing the passer. Well, the best player available in the offensive tackle, offensive lineman, was the number one pick, which was Laremy Tunsil. Since he's off the board, and you usually go the best player available, now you probably could get somebody on the pass rushing side, maybe in the second round. But if you're looking for someone that you need to rush the passer, now you do have Melvin Ingram. But he hasn't been able to stay healthy, and he's entering his contract year in 2016, this year. So you may need somebody to make up for that if you don't plan on keeping Melvin Ingram. And you can get some cheaper, even though he's the number three pick. You can get him cheaper. And how about Joey Bosa from a defensive lineman class outside linebacker from Ohio State? That wouldn't be a bad choice. I think that would probably help the San Diego Chargers in the pass rush because they did lack a pass rush, had an inconsistent pass rush. Let me put it that way. Number four pick, and it looks like we're probably going to get to the first round, and we can continue this next weekend, next Sunday. Number four pick, which is the Dallas Cowboys pick. Dallas Cowboys had some defensive problems. Sean Lee wasn't consistently still on the field, and neither was Rolando McClain. They dealt with various injuries. Rolando McClain is going to be a free agent, and quite naturally you know that Sean Lee is not a durable linebacker. Very good when he's in there, but not a durable linebacker. Even though Miles Jack, who's a linebacker, injured his knee, and he's still, just like Todd Gurley, had hurt his knee. The Rams did their research and found out that he would be a good pick and be available for them in the season in 2015, and he was in contention for being a rookie of the year. And I'm not saying Miles Jack is, but Miles Jack is the a very good player, and it sounds like Jack will be ready for the combine. He's expected to dominate in Indianapolis. If he does, quite naturally, he'll solidify his top five status. Let's move on to the Jacksonville Jaguars, who are pretty strong on the offensive side of the ball. Need to shore up that Gus Bradley defense. And I would think that if you have two quarterbacks in Phillip Rivers and Marcus Mariota, who combined to go 49 of 72, put up 568 yards and eight touchdowns and only one interception, you would think that you would need help in your secondary and need to fix that. So why not bring a top five player and one of the best ones in the this NFL draft would be Jalen Ramsey, a safety slash cornerback from the Florida State. Jalen Ramsey can play both positions, and I think that it would go toward shoring up that backside of that defense that is very weak and is a liability on Gus Bradley's defense. Let's go to the Baltimore Ravens. Baltimore Ravens don't find themselves in this position too often, but they have the number six pick and are in dire need of some pass catchers. Now, quite naturally, they had a bad taste in their mouth when they drafted Rashad Perriman last year, and he turned out not to play at all last year. And Steve Smith is supposed to be coming back, but he's 30-something, close to 40-something, and coming back from the torn Achilles. You don't know how effective he's going to be, so there's question marks in that receiving core. But I could see the Ravens pulling the trigger on Laquon Treadwell, a wide receiver from Ole Miss. Looks like he may be the top prospect available wide receiver-wise. And I can see that that is where the direction, even though it's back-to-back wide receivers in back-to-back drafts, Baltimore is one of these teams that in dire need of some pass catchers for Joe Flacco. And then we go to the team by the bay, talking about the San Francisco 49ers, with the Chip Kelly being their new head coach and his style of offense. They need a quarterback other than Colin Kaepernick, other than Blaine Gabbert, to run his offense. Now, I'd be surprised if they don't draft a quarterback in the first two rounds. Then Chip Kelly will probably start Blaine Gabbert, because I don't think Colin Kaepernick is going to be on the 49ers. I don't know where he's going to go, but I don't think he's going to be the 49ers. Now, but I think there's a chance that the 49ers, who may have doubt or yeah, lucked out and not gotten Carson Wentz because he went to the number two against the 49ers, would pick up the next best thing that they, in their opinion, and that would be the quarterback out of California, Jared Goff. Now, Chip Kelly coached in the Pac-12. He has a love fest, but he has liked Pac-12 prospects, and I think that he would go after a Pac-12 quarterback that he thinks can run a system, and that, in my opinion, that could be Jared Goff. Let's move on to the number eight pick in the Miami Dolphins, which, in my opinion, would be DeForest Buckner, defensive end, defensive tackle. They got a few free agents, Oliver Verdon and Derek Shelby. One of them may be franchised, but that might mean that Cameron Wake, quite naturally, if you know about the Miami Dolphins and Cameron Wake, he's coming off a torn Achilles, could be cut quite naturally to free up some salary cap. If so, then it would make sense to draft DeForest Buckner as a replacement. The ninth pick would go to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. They need help on the defensive side of the ball. Their two main top two pass rushers, and Gerald McCoy and Jaquez Smith, both missed a game during the middle of the season, which has to be discouraging to any Tampa backer. Smith is a marginal talent who definitely needs to be upgraded. Acquiring more pass rushers makes sense in a division comprised of Cam Newton, Drew Brees, and Matt Ryan. So you do need some pass rushers because you have top-tier quarterbacks on your other teams that you're in your division. Cam Newton, who can beat you with his arm and his feet. Drew Brees, who's more on the arm than his feet, but can move around. And Matt Ryan, who relies mainly on his arm. All top passers. So you need a pass rush to defuse that. I'm going to the top 10. We are going to continue this until we get to the last pick in the fourth round. So if I don't finish it this week, which I won't because I'm getting to the top 10 pick here, we'll finish it in at the next weekend. That happens to be Super Bowl weekend, but I'll be on the air from 10 to 11 as always, and also picking a Super Bowl winner. So tune in next week, 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time with JT, that's me, a.k.a. the Master, will be on the Master Plan. So last but not least, for this week, number 10 pick, the New York Giants. They need a lot of help. Got burned left and right. One of the worst pass defenses in the league. Prince Akamura probably won't be on the Giants come the 2016 season. He's a free agent, and he's been injury prone, and they probably won't re-sign him. So they're probably going to be needing a quarterback. And they're probably consider Vernon Hargreaves as a potential replacement. He had a somewhat of a poor finish, but he's one of the top prospects on the board. That ends it for this week, but tune in next week, 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, where me, JT, will be here again with the Master Plan. Enjoy the weekend. I would say enjoy the Pro Bowl, but it is what it is. And we are out of here. See you next week.